This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة صدق الله العظيم. Respected teachers, scholars, beloved elders and my brothers in Islam, we should really thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us a religion which gives a lot of importance to the system of family structure. There are many individuals out there, many traditions and many cultures out there who don't really give importance to this aspect and who don't really want this relation. In the Holy Quran, more than the theory aspect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents the case study of this relation. The relation of a parent to the child, or the relation of the child to the parent. For example, let us look at the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, an amazing son. Who can have a better son than Ibrahim alayhi salam? Whose father, Azar, is an idol worshipper. And he doesn't only worship idols, but he sells idols. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam is the leader, who is a son, is the leader of the concept of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other side, he has a father who worships idols. So, Ibrahim alayhi salam's father is completely on the wrong side, and the son is on the right side. Let us look at another case study, the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam, a beautiful father, amazing father, kind, gentle father, a prophet. But he has children, one child is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Yusuf alayhi salam. But then again he has some children who were rebellious till a certain period of time. Later on they repented. They were in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point I'm trying to get at is that sometimes you are going to have parents like Azar, and sometimes you are going to have parents like Yaqub alayhi salam. Sometimes you are going to have children like Ibrahim alayhi salam, and sometimes you are going to have children like those of Yaqub alayhi salam who were in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another beautiful case study towards the end of Surah Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Khidr alayhi salam. Khidr alayhi salam meets a child and then he kills the child. Apparently it looks like oppression. But when asked, Khidr alayhi salam says that this child, when he was going to grow up, he was going to be rebellious and he was going to trouble the parents. And when Allah Ta'ala talks about the parents in the Quran, Allah says, Abawaini salihain. The parents were going to be pious and righteous. That is why I killed the child. So in this scenario, the child was going to be disobedient and the parents were going to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the point I'm trying to make is that in this life, as far as our children are concerned, we do not have control over them. In this life, as far as our children are concerned, we do not have control over them. We have responsibilities over them. And there's a big difference between control and responsibility. Control is when you tell your child, you have to marry this person. That's it. No ifs and buts. Responsibility is when you tell your child that I've done my inspection. This person you want to marry is not good for you. There's going to be a disaster in this marriage. That is responsibility. Control is when you tell your child you have to become a hafiz or you have to become a doctor. That's it. Responsibility is when you wake up with the child every morning when the child has to go to madrasa and you have to drop the child to madrasa. Then you have to pick the child. Then again after Maghrib you have to drop the child and to understand the challenges of the child. Or you want your child to become a doctor, Now you have to just tell the child you have to become a doctor. That's it. No, that's control. Responsibility. You have to become a doctor. I will take care of your fees. I will take care of your bringing. I will take care of your expenses. That is responsibility. Respected elders and friends, when a child is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a certain level of control on this child. Certain level. For example, when a child is born, who feeds the child? You or the mother? Who clothes the child? You or the mother? Who talks to the child and chooses the words through which the child should be spoken to? You or the mother? Who chooses the school of the child? You or the mother? Who chooses the madrasa of the child? You or the mother? So Allah Ta'ala gives us that control. Then comes a time where slowly, slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts taking away that control from you as parents. Now the child starts talking. Now the child starts eating. Now the child starts walking and starts sitting with whomever who he or she wants to sit with. Now the child will even come and tell you that I don't want to go to this school. I want to go to this school because my friends are going to this school. Now the question which we have to ask ourselves is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that control, did we fulfill our responsibility? Did we give the right upbringing to the child? Did we give the right teachings to the child? If we gave the right upbringing and the right teachings, alhamdulillah, the results and the outcomes are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the child has to become disobedient in the future, then let us look at the example of Yaqub alayhi salam. When Yaqub alayhi salam was told by his other rebellious children that Yusuf has died, he was killed by a fox, when in reality it was the children themselves who threw Yusuf alayhi salam in the well, what was the response of Yaqub alayhi salam? Fasabrun jameel, beautiful patience, there is nothing else I can do. And look at this matter, Yusuf alayhi salam didn't get the upbringing of Yaqub alayhi salam. He had to stay in the palace of the king, the most corrupted place of that time. Later on, he had to stay in the prison. Worse. But then he becomes a prophet. And on the other hand, all the other children who were rebellious stayed under the upbringing of Yaqub alayhi salam. So the outcome is not in our hands. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are supposed to fulfill our responsibility as parents. You know, once a man, an old man, came forth to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he started complaining about his child, that my child is disobeying me and all sort of things. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu called the child and he started admonishing him. Why don't you obey your father? So the child said that, O Amirul Mu'minin, O Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, tell me, do I as a child have rights over my parents? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, yes, you do have rights over your parents. Right number one is that your parents, if it's a father, then they are supposed to choose the right mother for you. And if it's a mother, then they are supposed to choose the right father for you. Respected elders and friends, no religion has gone into this much of depth where before the arrival of the child, before the existence of the child, the right of the child begins. And the reason is obvious. When you have to choose the right spouse and a decent spouse, then the upbringing that is going to be given to the child, it is going to be right and decent. Imagine you end up marrying someone who doesn't even know how to speak properly, or who uses vulgarity in his or her language. Or imagine you end up marrying someone who doesn't understand responsibilities. Or you end up marrying a woman who doesn't even know how to cook. Or a woman ends up marrying a man, who doesn't even understand responsibilities. There will be disaster in that marriage. And what kind of upbringing is going to be given to that child? So that is the first right. Before looking for the next most handsome man for our daughters, or before looking for the next most beautiful girl for our children, let us understand that the most important thing is the inner beauty. It is the inner conduct and character. So that is the first right. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said that the second right that you have over your parents as a child is that they are supposed to give you a good name. You know, there are names that have good meanings. There are names that have bad meanings. There are names that have no meanings. There are names that might mean something in our native language, but it might mean completely something else in another language. So we should choose the names of our children very carefully. We don't want our children growing up cursing us that, look, you gave me this name. Now my friends at school or at madrasa are teasing me because of that name. You know, we are talking about names that might mean or pronounce something in our language, and it might pronounce something in another language. There's a funny incident that comes to my mind. Upon one occasion, there was this one brother resting in the park, and he was from Punjab. His surname was Singh, and he was taking more than one space, and he didn't know how to speak English. So a white man was passing by, so he asked him, "Are you relaxing?" So now this man thought that he's asking me my name. His name was Dilip Singh. So he said, "No, I'm Dilip Singh." So he went by, another white man came, and he asked the same question, "Are you relaxing?" He said, "No, I'm Dilip Singh." Another man came by, "Are you relaxing?" "No, man, I'm Dilip Singh." So he stood up and he went. He got frustrated, so he went on the other side of the park, and he saw another man lying down, and this man understood English. So he goes to him and he tells him, "Are you relaxing?" So he says, "Yes, they are looking for you on the other side." So sometimes a name might mean something in our language, and it might mean something else in another language. And respected elders and friends, these names do have an effect on the life of the child. We know of someone who told us that his mother's name was Sabira. His mother's name was Sabira. And this person had three brothers. The meaning of Sabira is to practice patience, right? So he said that my first brother passed away. My second brother passed away. So we changed the name of our mother to Shakira, which means to be thankful. Sabira means to practice patience. When do you practice patience? When there is calamities in your life. So they changed the name. So we should choose the names very carefully. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said that the third right that you have over your parents as a child is that your parents are supposed to give you the knowledge of Quran. They are supposed to teach you Quran. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who is talking about Quran, he's just not talking about reading Quran. He's talking about the divine wisdom and the knowledge hidden behind the Quran. And this third point right here is a slap on our face. It is a direct slap on our face, especially for those parents who give preference to any other knowledge than the knowledge of the Quran. It is not being said that we shouldn't teach any other knowledge to our children. Yes, we should teach them. But as parents, we need to equate, we need to balance the equation of academic level, academic knowledge and Islamic knowledge. We have to do that. If we don't do that, then we are not fulfilling the right of the child. It is our choice whether we want our children to be called doctor or we want them to be called a good Muslim doctor. In any knowledge, they are only going to stick to the professional aspect of that particular field. But when it comes to the knowledge of the Quran, it covers all the areas. It teaches a person how to be a good human. So it is our choice whether we want our children to be called doctor or a good Muslim doctor, an engineer or a good Muslim engineer, a scientist or a good Muslim scientist. So that is the third point. And then this child looks at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he says that, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, my father hasn't fulfilled a single right. My father hasn't fulfilled a single right from the rights that you have mentioned." So that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu now leaves the child and he starts admonishing the father. That this is how you have stayed with your child. How can you not expect him to be the way he is? And if Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going to talk about the fourth point right now, looking at the time and age, he was going to tell us that, Oh my beloved parents, be kind to your children. Believe in your children. Have confidence in your children. Sometimes you just have to be a father. Sometimes you just have to be a mother. Sometimes you just have to be that uncle in the society to whom the youth and the children can confide into. Let us stop being this big mufti all the time. Let us stop being this big da'i all the time. Who can be a greater mufti than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who can be a greater da'i than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yet, when he used to deal with children, he used to become like a child. Famous incident. Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who mentions that upon one occasion, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to our house. And Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who had a younger brother whose name was Abu Umair. Umair. And he had a pet bird. And the bird died. So Hadrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who mentions that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to our house. And just to make Hadrat Umair radiallahu ta'ala who feel better, because he was saddened by the death of the pet bird, just to make the child feel better, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started joking with him. And he said a sentence to him which rhymed. He said, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. Oh Abu Umair, what happened to Nughair? Oh Abu Umair, what happened to Nughair? Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, when Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi went to sleep at the house of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, he spent the whole night pondering on this sentence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he extracted 2,000 lessons from this sentence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How many lessons? 2,000 lessons. Few lessons. Lesson number one, you should give a nickname to your child. Look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He called Umair, Abu Umair. So you should give a nickname to your child. You should call your children, my Habibi, my beloved, my Jan. We give good nicknames to our wives. They even saved in our phones, my angel, my other half. The other day I saw in someone's phone, she that matters. She that matters. We give nicknames to our wives. Let us give nicknames to our children. That's the first lesson. Then another lesson. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a name to the bird, Nughair. So it means you can have a pet and you can name the pet. Another lesson, you can have a pet which is a bird. Another lesson, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind towards the children. So look at how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed with the children. You know, there is another famous hadith, subhanallah. Upon one occasion, the namaz, the salat started. And one young sahabi came running towards the salah. Nowadays, even the adults do that. One young sahabi came running towards the salah. So after the salah, the sahaba complained that this young sahabi runs towards the salah and it makes a lot of noise. What was the reaction of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You know, I remember when we were young and we used to stand behind in the salah, and whilst performing salah, if we were looking up or down here and there, someone would just come from behind and give a shot on our neck. Well, it was out of love, pure love. May Allah, some of them have even passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannah. Regardless, so what did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam called that child and he said to him, that I love your enthusiasm, I love your zeal. Look, he gave a positive comment first, and then he told him that next time you shouldn't repeat. So that was the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it came to dealing with children. And I would like to end with one important point. This was all about the rights of the children. It was all about the rights of the children. I gave the same bayan in one of the masjid, and one parent came and said, what about parents? What about parents? Well, let as youth, as children, we need to understand that we may have not prayed for them to be our parents, but they have prayed their whole life for us to be their children. That should be enough for us to understand the rights of our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice on whatever has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.